Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8, book of Mark, chapter 8. We'll read verses 22 through verse 26. And he, that's Jesus, cometh to Bethsaida, and they, that is the people of Bethsaida, bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. This, of course, is Mark's account of one of the healing miracles of Christ. In fact, Mark is the only one that records this particular miracle. All the miracles of Christ are written from the standpoint of an eyewitness, and they're all recorded in very simple and plain words. When looking at these miracles, it's important to remember that these are instruments for teaching. They are pictures of spiritual truth. In all the recorded miracles of healing done by Christ, the diseases, the infirmities, the conditions that were healed were symbolic of spiritual need and still are today. These miracles portray also the all-sufficiency that is in Christ concerning our needs. There's a great blessing when we can put ourselves in the place of the one healed. And it's important that we do that in this miracle, that we do not exempt ourselves. Christ never performed a miracle without a purpose, without a specific intent. In each miracle, there was intent and purpose for the individual healed. There was, and for that very time, for that very hour. But the intent and the purpose, of course, reaches beyond the individual. It reaches beyond the time in which the miracle was done. It reaches to you and I today. And it provides us with invaluable instruction. It provides us with encouragement. And it should promote and strengthen our faith. They were done to reveal our needs to ourselves and to, again, remind us that Christ is sufficient. This particular miracle is a very intriguing one, and the manner in which it was done is different from all the other miracles that Christ performed. It is the only recorded miracle done in two stages. It is the only recorded miracle where the person who was healed was asked if they were better or if they were healed. In reality, you can view this miracle as one miracle in two stages, or you can even view it as two miracles. In verse 24, you see the miracle of turning blind eyes into seeing eyes. And in verse 25, you see we have the miracle, or the second stage, of turning seeing eyes into seeing clearly and distinctly. Again, in both, there is a picture of need and there is a picture of Christ's sufficiency to meet that need. Now, just prior to this miracle, we read of how the apostles had witnessed Christ miraculously feeding over 4,000 with 7 loaves of bread and a few fishes. We see that in verses 1 through 9. This was followed by Christ and the apostles getting into a ship, arriving at the coast of Dalmanutha, where the Pharisees approached Christ and were seeking signs, seeking proofs. And they were doing this to trap him. We see that in verses 10 through 12. Following that encounter with the Pharisees, we see that Christ and the apostles get back into the ship, verse 13, continue their journey. And it was while on that ship that the apostles realized that they had forgotten bread. And this greatly troubled them. And about that time, Jesus, seeking to teach them some truths in reference to their recent encounter with the Pharisees, said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod." The apostles begin to reason amongst themselves. And they come to the conclusion that since Christ used the word leaven, that he was rebuking them for forgetting bread. So you see, their minds were so on the material that they completely missed the spiritual truth that Christ was referring to. He then proceeded to ask them nine questions in verses 17 through 21. The essence of those questions being, after all this time, you still do not understand. After all of this time, you still do not get it. He closes in verse 21 with the final question, "How is it that you do not understand?" You see, they failed to see clearly. They failed to see distinctly. They were unable to distinguish between one thing and another. And then Christ and the apostles arrive in Bethsaida. And upon their arrival, we have these people bringing this blind man to Christ. Christ touched his eyes, gave him sight. And the man said, "I see men as trees walking." And the reason that Christ healed this man in this way was to teach the apostles a lesson, to show them their own need. When that man said, "I see men as trees walking," it was as if Christ was holding up a mirror to them and saying, "This is you. This is you. You do not see distinctly. You do not see clearly. This is your spiritual condition. Your perception of things lacks clarity and lacks definition." Just as this man had a major distortion in his life, so the apostles at this particular time had a major distortion in their life. But it's not our purpose today to look at this miracle. We've done that before. We want to focus upon the personal attention of the Lord to this man in regards to his deficiency and his needs. I want to speak this morning on the personal attention of the Lord to our spiritual needs. Personal attention of the Lord. The Lord gave this man personal attention. It is our prayer that we'll each make personal examination in our own lives. First of all, let's see this man as he's being brought to Christ. Verse 22, "They bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him." There is a fourfold reason for them bringing this blind man to Christ. And the reasons are found in the words "blind man," "him," "besought," and "touch him." We see a fourfold reason. First of all, they recognized the need, a blind man. There was a need or deficiency, and they recognized that. Secondly, they believed that Christ was able to meet this particular need or deficiency of this man, and that's why they brought him unto him. There was a deficiency and need, and there was a belief that Christ was able to meet that need. Thirdly, they had a desire for Christ to personally intervene in this man's deficiency, to personally intervene in this man's need, and besought him, and besought him. Fourthly, they desired Christ to do something concerning this man's deficiency or need. Touch him. Touch him. Now, concerning those four matters, we need to make personal examination. First of all, do we recognize our spiritual needs and deficiencies? I'm not talking about recognizing them in other people's lives. I'm talking about, do we recognize spiritual needs and deficiencies in our life? And I believe that we will, as individuals, readily recognize the fact that we individually have some spiritual deficiencies. We have some spiritual needs. I doubt if there be anyone here who would say, I have no spiritual deficiencies whatsoever. The only time that'll be true is when you're in glory. So I'm sure there's no one who would take that position. We know that we have personal spiritual needs. Whether we properly identify those needs, that's another issue. But we are all aware of some personal spiritual deficiencies or needs in our lives. Again, they bring a blind man unto him. Unto him. Again, this is a matter of personal examination. Do we believe, are we absolutely convinced that he is able to meet our spiritual needs and deficiencies? Do we believe enough to bring them to him? And we read, and besought him. And not only brought this man to Christ in his deficiencies, they besought. They pleaded with Christ. Again, this is a matter of personal examination. Do we desire and do we plead for the Lord to intervene in our spiritual needs and deficiencies? Do we plead with God concerning our own deficiencies? It says they besought him to touch him. Again, that's a matter of personal examination. Do we desire for the Lord to personally do something very specific concerning our own needs and deficiencies? We all recognize that we have spiritual deficiencies. Do we believe that he is able to meet those deficiencies? Are we willing to plead with God concerning our own deficiencies? Are we willing to ask God to do something concerning our own spiritual needs and deficiencies? Again, we all admit we have needs, we have deficiencies. And may I say, though we admit that, we need to remind ourselves that our needs and deficiencies are greater and more numerous than we realize. No one knows every spiritual deficiency that they have. They're greater than we realize. I'm afraid that though we realize that we have spiritual deficiencies, that at times we're not really wanting the Lord to deal with them. It's easy to ask God to deal with someone else's deficiencies. But Lord, deal with my deficiencies. Many times individuals take on the attitude, well, I'll just tend to them myself. Or I will, yes, this is a deficiency I have, but I'll make the best of it. I'll learn to live with it. That's a wrong attitude. We need to have a desire for the Lord's personal attention regarding our spiritual needs, regarding our spiritual deficiencies. So let's look now at the personal attention of the Lord toward this man. In verse 23, "And he," Jesus, "took the blind man by the hand." People are pleading. Jesus takes the blind man by the hand. The blind man, no doubt, could hear. The ones who were pleading for him, he could hear them. But Jesus reached forth and took the man by the hand. There was personal contact. The blind man knew that Jesus was there. He knew that he was in the presence of Christ just from hearing their pleading. The blind man had a knowledge of the Lord's presence. But then we read, "He took him by the hand." And at that moment, the blind man felt the Lord's presence. The omnipresence of God is a wonderful truth. I'm sure that we all believe and recognize that God is omnipresent. But even more wonderful, and on an entirely different level, to personally feel His presence. This blind man now feels the Lord's presence. As soon as the Lord took him by the hand, he felt the Lord's presence on a different level than those who had brought him. He didn't take their hands. He took this blind man by the hand. And now this blind man feels the Lord's presence in a way that the others do not. And he, Jesus, took with purpose and intent the blind man, with all of his limitations, with all of his deficiencies, he took him by the hand. So now Christ and this man are hand in hand. We read in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 15, Joshua 4, 24, Psalm 89, 13, 1 Peter 5, 6, that the Lord's hand is a mighty hand. So mighty that it can crush the most powerful on earth with ease. Yet Jesus took this blind man by the hand, and he did so in mercy. He did so in grace and love and kindness. He reached forth his almighty hand, who could have crushed this man. But that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his intent. And he took this man by the hand. This is personal attention. This is personal contact from the Lord with this man. And it concerns his deficiency. Again, personal examination is needed. Do we desire for the Lord to pay personal attention to us, not merely concerning our material needs, but our spiritual deficiencies? Do we desire for the Lord to pay personal attention to us as an individual concerning our deficiencies? Notice verse 23. "And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town." What a beautiful picture. Jesus and this man with his limitations and deficiencies are now walking hand in hand. And notice what it says. It says he led him, not dragged him, led him out of the town of Bethsaida. He didn't drag him, didn't force him. He led him out of town. And he did so with a very definite purpose in mind. And it concerns this man's deficiencies. So we see these two walking hand in hand. This is the Lord's love. This is the Lord's gentleness in dealing with our spiritual deficiencies. I'm glad that God doesn't just grab me by the hand and drag me. But He gently takes us by the hand in regard to our spiritual deficiencies. This man had nothing to offer to the Lord, nor do we. Again, personal examination. Do we desire for the Lord to come to us, take us by the hand, lead us to a place where He will deal with our spiritual deficiency? Some will say, well, I'd rather just deal with it myself. And you'll continue to have a spiritual deficiency. Unless the Lord deals with it, it'll continue. So are we desirous for the Lord to come, take us off to a place, and specifically deal with our own spiritual deficiency? Next, we read in verse 23 that He, Jesus, spit on His eyes, put His hands upon Him. From verse 25, we learn that He put His hands upon His eyes. Because there it says, after that He put His hands again upon His eyes. So Jesus leads this man out of the town, puts His hands upon His eyes. He touched the point of this man's deficiency. Why didn't He touch His hand? Why didn't He touch His feet? Because He touched the point of His deficiency, which was His eyes. That's what we need. We need for the Lord to touch the point of our deficiency. Again, personal examination is needed. Do we desire for the Lord to lay His hands directly upon the point of our spiritual deficiency and need? Or would we rather the Lord just kind of beat around the bush, go a roundabout way? The Lord laid His hands upon the man's eyes. The touch of the Lord was followed by a question. He, Jesus, asked him if he saw aught. He asks him a personal question. And it was a question in regards to his deficiency. It was a question in regards to his needs. Christ asks questions, not for answers, but for the purpose of getting to the heart of the matter. For the purpose of revelation. Jesus asked this man a specific question concerning his deficiency. Again, personal examination is needed. Are we desirous of the Lord to take us by the hand, lead us to a place, and touch our point of deficiency, and ask us questions concerning our deficiencies and needs? In verse 24, we see this man's answer. I see men as trees walking. His answer was an admission of a deficiency. I mean, if you look out and it appears that men as trees are walking, you have something wrong. You have an impairment. There's a deficiency. So the man's answer was an admission to a very particular deficiency at this point. I see men as trees walking. Now this man could have thought, again, he's brought from darkness to seeing men as trees walking, and he could have thought, well, some sight's better than none. I see men as trees walking, but at least I see. So I just answer his question, yes, I see. And I learned to live with it. And he would have gone on living the rest of his life, seeing men as trees walking. But he was honest with the Lord about a particular deficiency. I see. I'm no longer in darkness. But I see men as trees walking. To continue in such a state would bring many difficulties in one's life. It would bring many struggles in one's life. It would bring many obstacles and dangers. I mean, if you walk around and everything appears as men as trees walking, that's dangerous. And you're going to make poor judgments, because you're making your judgments based upon what you see and you're not seeing accurately. Again, this was all a lesson to the apostles. To continue in this state would have filled this man's life with confusion. It would have filled this man's life with uncertainty. To continue in this life would have filled his life with a degree of fear and anxiety. And certainly it would bring a loss of enjoyment. It's going to be pretty hard to enjoy life if everything you see is men as trees walking. So he still has a deficiency. And he makes an admission to that deficiency. And unless this deficiency is corrected, it would be very dangerous. And it would cause a degree of misery in his life. So again, personal examination is needed. Are we willing to be honest with the Lord? Whatever the deficiency is in our life. Realizing the danger of any spiritual deficiency. Every spiritual deficiency brings a level of danger into our lives. Are we willing to be honest with the Lord? Again, in verse 25, after that is, after this man's admission of a deficiency, he put his hands, plural, again upon his eyes. So the Lord is touching his eyes. Almighty hands touching this man's eyes. And it says he made him look up, as I believe he tilted his head back, directing his gaze in a specific direction. Again, this is a beautiful picture of the Lord personally dealing and gently dealing with this man's deficiency. And oh, how wonderful it is that the Lord personally deals with deficiencies. And he does so gently many times. As you picture this scene, this man has been honest with the Lord concerning his deficiency. He's not only been honest with the Lord, he is submitting entirely to the Lord's working in regard to his deficiency. There was no protest from this man when the Lord put his hands upon his eyes. There was no protest from this man when the Lord gently tilted his head back to look in a particular direction. No protest whatsoever. This man was submitting to the Lord's personal work. Again, are we willing to be honest with the Lord concerning our spiritual deficiency? Are we willing to submit to his working concerning our spiritual deficiencies? The result was he was restored and saw every man clearly. And all the joy that filled this man's heart when he saw every man clearly. I don't believe this man was blind from birth because he knew what men looked like and he knew what trees looked like. And all the joy that this man now had in his life. And this brought a new beauty into his life. And the whole landscape of this man's life has been changed by what? The Lord's touch. The Lord's touch at the point of this man's deficiency brought new beauty into this man's life. Changed the entire landscape of this man's life. Oh, how we need the Lord to to touch our point of deficiency. We all have spiritual deficiencies. Are we willing to plead with God? Are we willing to plead with God to intervene? Are we willing to plead with God to do something concerning our spiritual deficiency? And what a beautiful picture we have here of the Lord gently dealing with this man. Again, be careful how you ask the Lord to deal with other people, because you must be consistent. If you ask the Lord to deal harshly with others, then you must do the same with yourself. But that God would deal in mercy and grace and take us by the hand and lead us to a place where He deals personally. All through the Bible we read of God's touch. Genesis 32, verse 24 and 25, we see Jacob. He's struggling against God. And we read that God touched the hollow or the socket of his thigh or his hip. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. As a result of that touch, Jacob's struggling ceased. It ceased. We all struggle with God in certain areas, some more than others. But we all have Jacob in us. And all we need is for God to touch, and all strugglings cease. The strugglings not only cease, the only thing Jacob could do at that point was cleave to the Lord. All for God to touch the point of our deficiencies, causing all struggling to cease, bringing us to the point where all we can do is hold unto the Lord. We read in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 26 of a band of men whose hearts God had touched. God did more than speak to them. He did more than just sway them. He touched their hearts, causing them to honor and causing them to respect their king. It was a touch that brought reverence to the king. It was a touch that caused them to have an attraction to the king. Again, personal examination is needed. Do we desire for the Lord to touch us in such a way as to cause us to reverence the Lord? To cause us to be attracted to the Lord? All it takes is a touch from the Lord. You and I can plead with the individual. We can do all kinds of things. But all it takes is for the Lord to touch them. That's all it takes. In Jeremiah 1, we read that God revealed His will to Jeremiah. Jeremiah immediately began to give reasons why he thought he was unable to do what God was telling him to do. And we read there in Jeremiah 1 and verse 9 that the Lord put forth His hand and touched his mouth. Point of his deficiency, he was saying, I'm unable to speak. And the Lord said to him, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. It was a simple touch from God that brought sufficiency for Jeremiah to carry out what God was telling him to do. Do we desire the Lord to touch us in such a way to cause us to be able to do what God would have us to do? In the book of Daniel, chapter 8 and verse 18, we read that Daniel was in a deep sleep. His face was toward the ground. And then it says, but he touched me and set me upright. This was a touch that brought awakening. He touched me and set me upright. It was a touch that got his attention. Again, personal examination is needed. Do we desire for the Lord to touch us in such a way as to awake us and bring us to attention before Him? Daniel 10 and verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands on all fours. This was a touch that brought weakness. And then we read in Daniel 10 and verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So there was a touch that brought weakness, and then there was a touch that brought strength. And again, we must ask ourselves, do we desire for the Lord to touch us in such a way to cause us to fall upon our knees, to cause us weakness, and then to touch our weakness and cause us to be strong? It only takes a touch from the Lord. In every case, the Lord touches the point of deficiency. Matthew 9, Jesus comes upon two blind men, and we read that he touched their eyes, and their eyes were opened. It was a touch that brought illumination. Matthew 17, in verse 7, Jesus came and touched them, that is Peter, James, and John, upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and said, arise, be not afraid. It was a touch that liberated them from fear. And oh, how many need to be liberated from something! All it takes is a touch from the Lord. Mark 1, we read of Jesus touching the leper and saying, I will be thou clean. It was a touch that brought cleansing. Luke chapter 22, we see Jesus touch the ear of Malchus after Peter cut it off with a sword. And his ear was restored. It was a touch that brought healing. It was a touch that repaired the damage that Peter had done. All it takes is a touch from the Lord. Do we desire for the Lord to touch us in such ways? We all know that we have spiritual needs. We all know that we have spiritual deficiencies. Are we willing for the Lord to pay very special attention to those particular deficiencies, those particular needs? For each one of us to go from here, just pick one to start with. You've got to start somewhere. Pick one. Properly identify a spiritual deficiency in your life. Just pick one and ask the Lord, Lord, this is the deficiency as I see it. Lord, if I'm seeing it wrong, correct me. Show me. But Lord, I need you to deal personally with this particular deficiency in my life, and plead with God. Lord, touch me. Get to the point of the deficiency and touch me. Are we willing to do that this morning? Again, we're all aware of spiritual deficiencies. Don't say, oh yeah, I've got them, but so and so. Don't even go there. Just concentrate on a particular deficiency in your life and plead with the Lord to give personal attention to that deficiency. What a difference it would make in our lives. We ought to want God to personally deal with our deficiencies. Well, I would be afraid to ask. You have a wrong concept of God. What's there to be afraid of? The Lord took this man by the hand and led him, brought him to a place, and personally dealt with this man. You have more to fear in neglecting your spiritual deficiencies. That's what you ought to fear. There ought not be fear to take our deficiencies and our needs to the Lord. It's amazing. When we feel a material or physical need, everybody wants the Lord to intervene in that matter. And that there's nothing wrong with that. But there's greater deficiencies and needs in material and physical. And that's spiritual. And we ought to want God to deal personally with each one of us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.